on the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome my good colleague Peter Berkowitz at the Hoover Institution, writing his column at Real Clear Politics. Lessons learned from the October 7th, 2023 war by the Israeli political echelon, the politicians, and the senior military staff. Peter, a very good evening to you. You have four lessons, and they're hard to go over because I agree with all of them. We have a situation in Gaza right now that is extremely unclear. The wreckage around all of the refugees testifies to years ahead of rebuilding. The question often raised, though, is, will Hamas make a comeback? Is it still the government of Gaza? Why rebuild if it is? What is to be done? And your political lessons and military lessons learned are pertain to how we got to where we are right now. First is something I did not know. The leadership in Israel assumed that the military would solve this in the winter of 2024. They were wrong. Why were they wrong? Is that part of the assessment, Peter? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Yes, it is part of the assessment. The first error, and I should say these are errors that are identified by a man named Eyal Tzir Cohen, who was writing in Hebrew a few weeks ago, and he was a member of the hostage negotiating team, a military man himself. And he said the first error that Israel made, and he was part of the team making the errors, wasn't supposing, as you said, that in January, February, March, April of 2024, Israel would be able to inflict a decisive blow against the military leadership of Hamas. Now, they did achieve some spectacular results. They killed Marwan Issa, who was the deputy commander of Hamas's military wing. In July, they killed Mohammed Deif, who was the military chief. And then in October, Yahya Sinwar, who was the top leader of Hamas in Gaza. But the vast majority of the leadership managed to flee underground. And when we say underground here, we don't mean figuratively among the population. We mean into the hundreds of miles of tunnels that Hamas had built over a 20-year period, so that even though Israel managed to kill in the neighborhood of 17, 18,000 Hamas fighters out of probably 40 to 45,000 when the war began, much of the leadership was still intact. That was a mistake that the Israeli war plans did not take into account.
The second lesson learned, the assumption, who knew? I didn't know this. I'm reporting it at the same time. The assumption by the leadership in Jerusalem and Tel Aviv, that's the army and the politicians, that the fighting in Gaza would wedge between Hamas and the Palestinian population, and the population would be alienated and stop supporting them. That didn't happen.
Well, it certainly didn't happen enough. Now, you could say that this was that the Israelis here were being optimistic or supposing something they really should have known better. That is, there are plenty of Israelis who will tell you that, look, Hamas is not just a fighting force, not just 40 to 45,000 fighters. It's an ideology that is deeply woven into the hearts and minds of Palestinian in the Palestinian population. And unfortunately, the war following the October 7th attacks seems to bear that out. The Palestinian population, to a significant extent, continues to support Hamas. It's one of the reasons why it's hard to imagine 2 million Palestinians being moved from Gaza. Many of them don't want to be moved because many of them don't think their life will be fulfilled by living in a Riviera on the Mediterranean. They think their life will be fulfilled rather by destroying Israel.
I mentioned the Arab plan that was rejected early in this month. by the U.S. and by Israel. Is the assumption from outside Cairo, Qatar, Damascus, not Damascus anymore, let's say Beirut, that the Gaza will be recreated, that Hamas will be back in charge, and we'll go through this again in 10 years? Is that their cynical version of this?
I have no doubt that there are some leaders who hold that cynical version. But I think that in Egypt, in Saudi Arabia, in the Emirates, probably in Jordan as well, they continue to secretly root for the Israelis destroying Hamas leadership, for ending Hamas's ability to govern, because Hamas, the Palestinian wing of the Muslim Brotherhood, is also their enemy. That means the enemy of the leadership in Egypt, leadership in Saudi, leadership in Emirates, and leadership in Jordan. So I think the leaders, I distinguish from the people and run-of-the-mill politicians, but the leaders behind closed doors still root for Israel to destroy Hamas leadership.
A third lesson, that the assumption by the mediators, Egypt is mentioned, Qatar is mentioned, would oblige Hamas to compromise, that there would be a rational decision made by Hamas. It didn't happen. When did they realize it wasn't going to happen?
Well, I think it was really over the course of the negotiations. The Israeli team saw that the mediators from Qatar and the mediators from Egypt were professional. They actually they took the Israeli recommendations as the Israelis represented them, brought them to Hamas. They took Hamas's representations and brought them to the Israelis. What so greatly disappointed the Israelis is that the Qataris and Egyptians did not side with Israel. As Sir Cohen reports, while their heads, their personalities, their demeanor was in the West, their hearts remained in the Middle East. Israel didn't want them to be neutral. Israel wanted them to take sides against the monstrous jihadists. They refused to do so.
So the assumption was that they would help the Hamas find a way out of this. They would boost them into a decision that wasn't total destruction. Because the frame of this, Peter, is that Hamas is destroyed. I understand they're teenagers. I understand there's a dream. I understand there are people from the outside on the West Bank or in Istanbul who are Hamas, who will rise again. Is that what the mediators saw while this was going on, that everybody was going to die and they would still claim to be victorious?
Overall, John, I think they did not, the mediators and their countries, Qatar and Egypt, did not want to be seen as supporting the notion that Palestinians have to leave Gaza, or they did not want to be seen as supporting any suggestion that what had once been Arab land would cease to be Arab land. So they had to, at least in negotiations, the mediators had to maintain a rigorous neutrality. And that rigorous neutrality dispirited the Israelis, because the Israelis had been subject to attack by people who want to destroy their country. The proper, the decent, just approach to that is not rigorous neutrality.
The 47-minute film made by Israel from the video cameras that were carried by the killers, the gangsters, that was assumed to be evidence, proof, overwhelming evidence. I certainly regarded it so, and it was rejected. Was that a surprise to the leadership?
It certainly was. For them, it was a kind of game changer, meaning, as you know, the Israeli government prepared a 47-minute film documenting Hamas's atrocities. Some of the documentation came from the GoPro cameras that the terrorists were wearing as they executed in cold blood civilian Israelis. The Israelis hoped that this would shock, that this film, this documentation of atrocities would shock consciences worldwide. It would compel nations around the globe to rally to Israel's side, encourage them to demolish Hamas. But no, that didn't happen. And Sir Cohen especially points the finger at the Biden administration, because the Biden administration sent diplomat after diplomat, public intellectuals also to Israel. They didn't say to Israel, win. they said to Israel, or they put to Israel constantly one question: when will you terminate the war and go home? And Sir Cohen says this was devastating to the Israelis, because the Biden administration put ahead just a kind of stopping the war ahead of the imperative of Israel destroying the enemy that was seeking to destroy Israel. So now that Israel has now factored that into its consciousness, what they regard as that betrayal.
It was an election year, Peter. Did anybody talk about it?
Sir Cohen speculates that as the election drew closer, the Biden administration was more focused on ending the war. Yes, he does.
Peter Berkowitz, writing his column for Real Clear Politics, Four Lessons Learned from a Tragedy.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.